Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. In an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's an absolute must. You got to hire the right lawyer. You're going to make sure that your insurance companies pay you what you are owed. Injury attorney David Femenino and his team, they are exactly who you need to call. They have been making insurance companies pay for over 30 years. They're going to help you with your case as well. David is ready to speak to you personally. Right now, 855-65-CRASH. That's 855-65-CRASH. Or you simply go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the second episode of the 5-Star Zone. Rico Beard, your host. Evan Jenkins on the other side. And you know what? We're going to dive right into this. I appreciate you guys listening to the first show. Evan, when I look at college football over this past weekend, the one thing that really strikes me is I don't understand why we have rankings so early, because what you saw was basically a goodbye ode to the Big 12. They're done. They're out of it. They're sending no team to the college football playoffs because their big boys all lost. Oklahoma, done. Texas, embarrassing again. And a side note, is there any other team that has come and how can I put this? They're back more than Texas. Texas is back. Every year, Texas is back until about two or three games into the season, and Texas is lost. Last year, it was what? Game one, Maryland, done. Year before that, Maryland, done. Before that, I mean, they lose a game, and it's like, but next year, oh, no, trust me, Texas is back. Tom Herman's going to right this ship. As much money and as much resources that go into that program, that's embarrassing. I would say Notre Dame, but Notre Dame's at least made the college football playoffs. Michigan, probably the only other team that has been back. Florida actually looks like they're back. Florida State, they're not there. Miami looks like they're back. But Texas, I mean, I guess west of the Mississippi is Texas, is the team that's back.
USC's up there sometimes.
Yes. How could I forget about USC? USC, the Trojans are back. Yeah, we do hear that. I don't understand it, but yeah, this is why you can't have the rankings, because they're not that good. Texas should not have been ranked that much. And they lose to TCU 33-31. I think they fumbled on their own 1-yard line. We got to hear, you know, and then Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler got all the hype. Oh, this guy's going to be a Heisman. He's going to be the next one for Lincoln Riley. Watch out. He's going to be up there with everybody else. No. You know what he looked like? A freshman quarterback. And he may be good down the line, but I'd like to thank the Big 12 for playing. They won't have any representatives. So Clemson in, Bama in, two spots open. That's good for the Big 10, because now you could possibly get in there. Because I don't think Oklahoma State is going to really excite people. So the Pac-12 may finally get a representation in there with Oregon, if Oregon wins, and I guess Ohio State from the Big 10. But the Big 12, they're sending this one out.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Big 12. And Spencer Rattler, with every bit of hype that he had coming in, especially being on the Netflix show, and everybody saw his development going in, and he fell flat, and it makes you wonder about their coach, Oklahoma's coach. I mean, does he need a transfer to win?
No, he doesn't. You know what happens is we get caught up in the hype. I actually saw him playing in high school. He's good, but then the hype train came. And then, you know, I got to top that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And before you know it, this kid's walking on water and turning, you know, bread and fish and feeding multitudes. This is what happens. And if this sounds familiar, you're probably going to see this go down with Joe Milton. The same thing. A kid that's good, But then the fans get involved, the coaches say something, and the fans take what the coaches say, and they build on that. And the next thing you know, you got your next Shane Morris, a kid who could never live up to the hype.
Well, and you're not getting your fluff games this year either to get your feet wet.
No.
You're getting thrown right into conference play, and that's a different game. It totally is.
It is. I mean, Michigan starts with Minnesota on the road. I mean, I know on the road is relative because there's no fans, but – It's still, you're not in the friendly confines of the big house. I think that Joe Milton will be fine. I think that Joe Milton will pay off dividends in future years. This year, just go out there and I mean, if you get 5-3, 6-2, okay. The thing is, you got to stick with him. You got to stick with him through the bad times, because I think by year two and year three, now you're going to have somebody who legitimate hype, legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate. But right now, I mean, you know, comparing him to NFL quarterbacks, like, come on. You would think people would learn, but I guess not.
If the plan was to play him this year, as it sounds that he won the competition and everything, won't it almost look bad on Harbaugh that he didn't play last year then and have this be season two?
No, it wouldn't, because people have asked it, and that's actually a good question. No. He simply wasn't ready. There's very few true freshman quarterbacks who can just step out on the field and get the job done. I know everybody, well, Trevor Lawrence did it. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is special, okay? Not everybody. Look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow lost out at Ohio State, had to transfer somewhere else. Now, in his, what, fifth year, he became Joe Burrow. For quarterbacks, it's not an instant type of thing. You need something under your belt. I don't even think Tua was a true freshman. He was a redshirt freshman when he was inserted into the championship game. It's difficult to be that guy so early. I mean, you're truly a man amongst boys, and most guys aren't, man. I don't care how many Elite 11s, I don't care how many Army All-American games you played in. Once you take that next step to college, man, these guys are just as fast as you, and they can hit harder, okay? It ain't like you playing in the PSL, okay? This is big boy football. So, no, I get what you're saying, and a lot of people say that. If he were that good, would he have played? Probably, but I think last year Harbaugh was kind of – he was stuck. Shea was a marriage that he had sold us on, and to bail on that, the next QB that you put in would have to be lights out, and I don't think that any of the guys they had would have been lights out. You had Shea, once again, another quarterback with too much hype, couldn't live up to it. It's funny that it's always the athletes that you never even know about. I mean, once again, who knew? Joe Burrow was a Ohio State washout. He goes to LSU. I'm quite sure people in Columbus were snickering. you're taking our leftovers. Yeah, he's no Dwayne Haskins. Okay, yeah, he couldn't beat our guy out. Our guy is the greatest. And then he goes to LSU, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, you know, he played at Ohio State once. You know, he was once in that quarterback room at Ohio State. Tunes change all the time.
And it's not even like Ohio State made a mistake by not playing him.
No.
Because every step of the way, they've been very successful at quarterback. Dude, that just shows you it's a system, it's a time and place, it's everything.
It's maturity level, it's what happens to quarterbacks. So to answer your original question, no. If he was ready, I'm sure he would have played. I don't think he was ready. I think, once again, now you got to stick with him. That's the thing. And it kind of goes to the next subject for MSU. You got to pick a quarterback, and you got to stick with them. Now, MSU is going to be a little different because they haven't named a starter. Offensive coordinator Jay Johnson came out late last week and said that, hey, all three quarterbacks are getting equal reps with the first team. That's good and that's bad. I don't know how they're going to do this. I still think that come first game, Rocky Lombardi is going to be the guy to go out there to start. Unless Rocky is your long-term solution, I think that's a mistake because you're in your honeymoon period. It's your first year. You're not going to get fired, especially in a COVID era. Schools can't afford to buy you out. So you can make as many mistakes as you want. Everybody's underwater. So if you were a bad coach, you got to buy this year. You're not going to get fired because they can't afford the $10 million buyout. So no matter what you do, your job is safe, at least for this year. No crowds. No parking, no nothing. They didn't make money except for the TV money, which is just the break-even money. So I say that to say Mel Tucker If Rocky Lombardi is the guy, then you play him. But if Rocky Lombardi is not the guy, in this 8-game season that really doesn't count because everybody's getting their eligibility back, put the guy in that's going to help you win game number one in 2021. Put the guy in there. And that's why I'm not really big on who plays against Rutgers. I'm more concerned who plays against Ohio State. Now, we'll get into that as the season goes on. But, Evan, to me, the Ohio State starter and the Penn State starter, that's the starter for next season, barring injury. That's the guy you're saying we're going with. I mean, I guess you could just rotate and give each quarterback a game. But, you know, is that really fair? No, because, you'll look great against Rutgers. And, oh, okay, well, now we're going to stick Theo Day against Michigan. Little bit of a difference. So not necessarily fair.
And they're different quarterbacks, too. So it depends on what he wants to run. And when you talk about the offensive coordinator, is he going to be making plays that fit his players more so than fit in his scheme and what he wants to do? So you got to hope during practice that one kid sticks out and what they're looking for.
Right.
Maybe it's one kid has the strongest arm. You know, I heard before when you're trying to go to the pros, everybody's good at everything, but it's what you stick out with that one
right.
thing. Are you better than 99% of everybody yeah. else at this?
You got to do one thing well.
Yes.
I mean, you can't be a jack of all trades because that gets you out the league. A lot of quarterbacks are good, but can you do one thing well? Are you versatile? Can you run? Do you have a strong arm? Are you super accurate? You know, even, yeah, are you tall? I mean, Justin Herbert, hey, he's 6'6". Okay, that's what you do well. You're tall. You can see over the line. You got to do something.
Do some teammates respond better to you compared to your competition?
Right.
And that's, but it's healthy competition
yeah.
too.
They're are you all that leader? Are you the Baker Mayfield
yep.
where, you know what? I'll lead. You can walk into Columbus and wave the flag and plant it right in the middle of the O when you win. Are you that type of guy? You got to have something. And hopefully they can find that guy with that it factor. I mean, Evan, I keep hearing so many great things about Peyton Thorne. I mean, this is not just – these are from people within the program are like, wow, that Peyton kid, man, he's the real deal. So – I'm starting to think Rocky may start, but by the end of the season, it's going to be Peyton Thorne. It's kind of like how you see Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami. You know eventually that's Tua's job.
Right.
But right now it's his. And I think Rocky is keeping a seat warm. He's the guy that can help you win now, but I'm telling you, talking with players and people who've actually seen practices, they've all raved about Peyton Thorne and just said that this guy, he's the guy that everybody is looking at. So, but right now, all three QBs all getting the equal reps. We'll see where that goes as the season starts to creep up closer and closer. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're very secretive on what kind of offense they're going to run. You just hear, multiple offensive sets. I guess that's good. I hope it's not like John L. Smith good where they – in all honesty, John L. Smith's offense, it was the defense that drove you wild. John L. Smith's offenses could score with anybody. They just couldn't stop anybody. That was the thing that drove you crazy. You had to win – you had to at least score 45 points to win a game. There was no, like under D'Antonio, when you see the championship game 16-13 type of thing. Yeah, not getting that with John L. Smith. That's after, 16-13 is after, two possessions each team. So hopefully the multiple formats, no fullback. So it looks like you're going to see multiple receivers out there. I'm anxious to see what the Rutgers – and I actually appreciate the fact that they do have Rutgers. A little bit of a practice game. Two first-year head coaches. They have more talent than Rutgers. And I think a lot of people get thrown off. And I mean, I've seen a lot of things where people say, oh, Michigan State's, they'd be lucky if they just win one game. There was talent on that team. I think the coaching staff kind of was already had a foot into retirement. Mark D'Antonio wasn't all the way there. I don't think he was keeping his assistant coaches, their feet to the fire. I think everybody kind of felt like there's about to be a seismic change in this, they had players, man, especially on the defense. They had guys. Now they lost some, but I don't expect this to be this god awful team. I mean, I think you hear that just because the state that we're in, and you know the Wolverine fans go, oh, you know, you guys are gonna suck. But I wouldn't be shocked if both teams ended up with the same record at the end of this year, because I think that there are teams that, to me, the Iowa game is going to be the game. And honestly, man, looking at college football, the more and more I look at it, if MSU somehow went into Ann Arbor and won, yeah, who would have thought that the games that we're seeing right now, you know, the teams could just walk in and be like, wow, okay, I didn't see that upset coming. I didn't see this coming. So I think we just need to kind of pump the brakes on the automatic W's, because I don't think we know what the automatic W's are this year. I think Ohio State's the best team in the Big Ten. I think Penn State is second, but like Jack Cohn is out for Wisconsin, so I don't think they're going to be good. Michigan's starting a lot of brand new people, so the assumption is, I mean, is Michigan going to be like Texas where they're going to be great until they actually got to play on the field, and then it's, oh, well, maybe next year. So we got to wait and see.
I wonder what's going to happen with teams that have high rankings that lose early on, if some players will opt out.
A couple Oklahoma players did. yeah, because at that point, you were playing for a championship, and now if this year doesn't count, then you've lost my interest. And that's, I'd respect you more if you just left, because if you can't just kind of half go out there and do things, you can't half-ass it in football. That's how you get injured, you get hurt, you hurt your team, you're disrespecting the game, you're disrespecting the program, you're disrespecting yourself. So, yeah, I do think that you will see people who, you know, let's say Ohio State comes out and they lose to Nebraska. You may have a couple people saying, okay, you know what? We lost to Nebraska. We're done. We didn't lose to Penn State. We lost to Nebraska. And then they lose to Penn State the next week. Ohio State's out. Ohio State starts off 0-2. I think you'll see an exodus leaving the team.
I completely agree with that, because what are you playing for?
Nothing.
There's a lot in school pride, and I understand that, but at the end of the day, those same players are the same players that are about to get paid in the
right.
NFL. So,
and most of your Buckeyes are first-round and second-round picks anyway, so it's not like you need film. It's not like you need tape. The Sean Wades of the world who opted in will opt right back out and say, yeah, you know what, these other guys can do it. I don't care anymore, Coach. I'm done. Ryan Day, yeah, sorry, see you. I'm out of here. So, yeah, but I for the Big Ten, if it's anything like the Big 12, I mean, on paper, it looks like, oh, it's going to be straightforward, but we're going to have to wait and see. And for Michigan State, please don't get me wrong, because I know people will be like, oh, of course you're going to say that. You know, you went to state. No, I just think that a lot of people are selling this team short. I think the stretch when they have Iowa and I want to say it's Iowa and Indiana will tell a lot about that team's games 3 and 4 of what that team is about and how they respond. The Michigan game, yeah, I mean, Michigan should beat them. We'll have to see. I mean, we'll get into that more. But, yeah, I do think that they can get some games. The Maryland game is another game that I think it's possible that they could take. So their games on that schedule. Northwestern is another game that I think, you know what, you can. Now, Ohio State, Penn State, probably not. So, you know, I don't see it happening that way. So we'll have to wait and see. Also, I had a conversation with Josh Newkirk, and he does stuff for the Michigan Insider on the 24/7 network. And he went to New Jersey, and he watched the game, and I was talking with him this morning. And for MSU fans, he had this glowing review of Audric Esterman, I think it's his name, the running back, four-star running back coming to MSU in 2021. Now, the reason why I was listening to Josh, because as I said, he does work for the Wolverine. So when he's sitting there saying how great, he's like, dude, this kid's going to be he's going to be a player in the Big Ten. Like, okay, I expect him to say that for Michigan guys coming in because that sells subscriptions. But when a Wolverine guy says this about a Spartan guy, having my ears perk in, like, okay, perk up. Like, wait a minute. He's like, yeah, kid 6'2", 214 pounds. And, you know, he's a straight line runner, but he's got top end speed. And I'm like, you know, is this like I can break, see the hole and run 30 yards down the field and get tackled? He's like, no, he had an 80-yard run. He outran the secondary, and it, I'm sorry, it was against Bergen Catholic. Bergen Catholic, which is like one of the top schools in New Jersey. So he's going up against top talent. This ain't like, oh, well, you're playing a bad team, so everybody looks good. No, he did this against, you know, I want to say they're the state champion or they're like one of the best schools. These two teams will probably meet again in the playoffs. He ran past the secondary that, you know, that all going to Power 5 schools. He outran them. I mean, 6'2", 215 pounds, had 18 carries for 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. They lost the game, okay? St. Joseph's, the team that he's on, they lost. I think they ended up losing by like a field goal or something. But the fact that against some of the best competition, 18 carries, 175 yards, including an 80-yard touchdown run, reminded me from what he described. I hate doing comparisons because people say, oh, you think it's like that. But it kind of sounded like, a Derrick Henry type, a big back that's fast. That somebody that once he gets rolling downhill, good luck trying to tackle him because that's a lot of weight coming after you. And, yeah, you're probably going to end up getting injured. So, I just thought it was funny because, like I said, it's coming from a Wolverine guy. Josh, I mean, I respect Josh. Josh is out there. Josh is at high school games. Josh is in the AAU gyms. I see him all the time. So I know he knows what he looks at and he's talking about because, Evan, a lot of people do this. I'm a recruiting expert. But they never go to the gyms. They never go to the stadiums. They never go any place. So he's the type that, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, I know him. I respect those type of people.
And I can second that. Josh actually worked here probably about 10 years ago. So I've known him, and he's been into recruiting ever since. And, you know, you hear them say that about a kid that they're not necessarily going there to see for their school and what they're doing.
Right.
And to speak highly is like it almost blows your mind because right. That's not what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And it's wonderful.
And you're supposed to downgrade it like, yeah, this kid's going to state, so he's okay.
Sure. And then so the first thing I thought was Le'Veon Bell height, right? And then
right.
You said speed, and I was like, oh, okay. Because I remember the first time seeing Le'Veon Bell as a freshman, and I'm like, I couldn't believe that he was a running back and B, a freshman.
Right.
And then you talk about the competition. I always wonder, is it a Macomb area competition back when I
right.
was in high school, and you're like, oh, those kids are good for the MAC in college.
Correct.
But when you see them go against upper echelon talent and perform, and you said, what, 18 carries for 170 yards, so obviously he's breaking big runs right away, and he's scoring,
right.
And that's what you want to see out of those guys. And it's not like Javon Ringer where you know he's going to get caught from behind. And that's something that I think a Michigan State running back hasn't had in the last few years was that breakaway speed. I see Elijah Collins is on Twitter talking about how he's worked on his speed all summer long. So that's something that you want to see.
Yeah, I forgot which game it was. I think it was the Western Michigan game or something. At the end of the game, it was, you know, we meet up with him. I'm like, what happened? He was like, I know, right? I got caught. I was looking at the scoreboard trying to see where the guy was at. I was like, why didn't you just run to the goal line? What are you looking at the scoreboard for?
Mm-hmm.
Just run. So, no, they haven't had that take it to the house guy. Probably, what, Edwin Baker?
Sure. And I mean, because Langford wasn't necessarily going to break away. He could get there. He did it against Ohio State if he got that step on you. But he wasn't going to get you if you were neck to neck. He wasn't going to pull away from you.
I'm talking about the guy that can get it on your side of the field and take it 70 yards. Like Langford's, he could break it for 30 yards. Like
right.
A lot, most running backs can do 30, but I'm talking about the kind you see in the SEC where they take the sweep and boom, touchdown. Everybody's chasing after him. And they haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, they haven't had Jonathan Taylor or Saquon Barkley break through and just
right.
See ya.
Yep. As soon as he hits the crease, and we lost him.
So that's good to hear because what we've seen with Michigan State and recruiting their running backs, they recruit big guys under Mark D'Antonio, but those were the guys that were going to sledgehammer you, and they were going to get the ball 25 times.
Yeah.
Well, so to see a big guy that has a burst, it's great to hear.
And also, you know what? I want to talk about this, too. because this is going to be big, and this is something I don't think most people realize the repercussions and how game changing this is, but the name, image, likeness that's going to come up. The guy who ran Players Inc. for the NFL, Casey Swab, has teamed up with Urban Meyer and Oliver Luck and a few other people, and they formed a group called I think it's Altuis. That's the name of the company. This company is going to be advising colleges on the name, image, and likeness and trying to really propel players to maximize. So almost as if the schools are their clients. We'll help you get guys in, and we'll help the brand awareness, and we'll help guys, and we'll steer them to where they need to go and how much they can make, and we'll tell you the right people to get in touch with. Smart on their part, because it's going to be the wild, wild west. And with this company starting up, man, they already got clients of Texas, LSU, and Arizona State. And so as you can see, some big boys are stepping up to the mic, realizing the difference between you going to my school and somebody else is if I can offer you a package of how you can maximize the dollars of signing here.
So essentially, let me get this straight. This company is coming in, getting schools as their clients, and then they're basically going to be the kids' agents.
Not necessarily the kids' agents, but more of a consultants to the schools to tell to create a package for the kids,
sure,
so that the schools can present the package to the kid.
There's autograph signings here. There's endorsement deals with T-shirts,
right,
here. There's
now here's where we could localize this, because they're doing all of this. Evan, there is one school out there that either A, becomes the new bar, or B, if they do it right, will have a rule saying you can't do it this way anymore. Because it is the wild, wild west. Because we don't know. Because when most people think of endorsements, as you say, you're thinking autograph sessions. You're thinking, oh, local car dealership. You're thinking, you know, local restaurant type of thing. Some pennies in your pocket, but you're making some money, okay? MSU has Amani Bates coming there. This guy, supposedly number one player, if he were to come out into the draft right here, right now, would have been number one pick. Saying that, if he reclassifies and he actually plays at MSU, forget local car dealership. I'm talking car company. I'm talking GM, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Mercedes. Kicking in saying, hey, son, how about we get on you early? How about this? Shoe deal. How about you get your own? I know Michigan State wears Nike, but Adidas signs you, and you're going to wear Adidas because we want to get in early on you. We're willing to dump a ton of money. Amani Bates could make $5, $6, $7, $10 million, because I'm not talking to low, and most kids can't do that, but he will because of the attention that he's going to get. Evan, it's possible that during the game you could see an electronic billboard of Bates hocking McDonald's inside the Breslin Center during a TV timeout. And at halftime, there's Bates selling some Mercedes-Benz. That's all above. He's already said, I'm in love with Michigan State. I'm going to Michigan State. If I don't go to the NBA, I'm going to Michigan State. If you're Michigan State, if you could market that, now you're in Coach Calipari stage where – it ain't necessary, and I know Izzo will hate to hear this. It's not about championships with these kids. It's about NBA. How much money can you get me? You know how many titles Calipari's won at Kentucky? One. You wouldn't think that. What he owns, like, what, 38% of the NBA are Kentucky players? One title. All that talent, you'd think that he would have this long run. He doesn't. Jay Wright has more titles than he does. But nobody talks about Villa. But you know where Calipari is every draft day? Green room.
Yeah.
Why? He's got about four players that he's about to send off into the NBA. He finds every camera, points to it. Hey, come to Kentucky, and I can get you here. That's what matters. If MSU does this right, I mean, you got Max Christie. You got other top players, too. But Bates is the guy. Once again, I'm not talking local car dealership. I'm talking, you pick up the phone and you call the GM and Ford family. Hey, this kid can market your stuff. He's going to be in the NBA next year. And if you're these companies, you're thinking, you know what? rather than try to fight this out, what if I get in on this kid early and now he's loyal and he'll sign this long-term deal? Your shoe company, why not? Okay. There's no rule that says he has to wear Nike. Izzo has to put the team in Nike, but you can wear whatever shoes you want. So if MSU does this right, either A, they become the new standard that now when they can say, you know what? Yeah, I know Ohio State said they could do this, but you remember all these Imani Bates commercials? Yeah, we did that. We can do that for you too, son. That's powerful. That's how you can outdo Duke and Kentucky's for recruits. When they can see, I can go to MSU, play 1 year, and make a ton of money, and then I can go to NBA and make even more. I can get my own sports drink. You know what? While everybody else is drinking Gatorade, I'm drinking Powerade because that's who it is. So, or either that or the NCAA comes in and shuts it down and says, you know what? It's called the Michigan State rule where you can we got to cap whatever it is. Either way, your name is out there. So just something to think about.
I mean, and it made me think that entire time you were talking because LeBron James made $90 million from Nike before he ever stepped on the court for an NBA game. And so Imani Bates, who's being billed as LeBron James since he was a freshman in high school, a ninth grader, and which is unthought of, you know, 10th grade, best player in the nation. What, is that the first time it's ever happened? A 10th grader, a sophomore did it.
Yeah.
And so you get him at Michigan State or whatever college it may be, right, and you do it exactly correct like you're saying. A big, big company is going to take a look at that player and say, I can market him for X amount of dollars and make so much on top of it. Mm-hmm. Think about all of the alumni that Michigan State has. Imagine how much money Dan Gilbert could put behind. Imani Bates is the face of Rocket Mortgage.
Right.
So much money, and you have that built in because guess
what?
And
it's legal.
He loves the school.
Yep.
And he's going to make money because you're the face. You're going to make money. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. There's a commercial. And there's Izzo and Imani Bates.
And guess what? Yeah. Michigan State is such a brand. You're going to be on ESPN twice a week.
Yes.
You're also Fox on Saturday mornings at noon? Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's beautiful.
And then imagine, and we're going to go to a break, and then there's Bates hopping out of a Mercedes saying, you know, or some luxury car commercial saying, you know what? This car handles just like I do. And he's driving it.
And we're not going to see it, and you're absolutely correct. We're not going to see it until there is a big-time player like Bates that takes advantage of the situation.
All of these other schools, they're lining up.
It's going to be one kid.
Yeah, they'll get, you know, Joe Blow car dealership. I've been doing this for 60 years. Come on down. You know, Terry Hanks type of thing. Yep. And instead, he's coming out there with McDonald. I mean, like the big boy advertising.
Oh,
the stuff that you saw LeBron. Why? Let's get in on this kid now, and then he'll be loyal to us and re-sign later. So even if you just signed a one-year deal with him, you know what? We don't know how good you're going to be, kid, but if you're as good as you're going to be, how about we sign you right now, $750,000 for 1 year, and you sell, you know, our car, or you sell this line of clothes, or you know what, you're the face of this restaurant.
Yep, and it's going to be exactly that, and it's going to be one kid that they all leverage in on. That's going to be the face,
right?
Because especially in college basketball, you're going to get that whole year of hype, right? So whether you're DeJuan Wagner that goes to Memphis and you never pan out to be the kid that you were in high school,
right?
Or you're LeBron James, people are going to piggyback on that, and they're going to make a lot of money because the $90 million that Nike invested in LeBron easily turned into $1 billion, right?
Correct.
Because of who he turned into.
It was an investment.
And you know what? It's good for these kids because, you know, as good as anybody, you can't pay every single player. You can't.
No.
You can't pay the fourth string kicker like you pay a second string quarterback at all, and it's never going to work. But guess what? You're going to have kids that are going to make money, and guess what? They're probably going to be good to their teammates.
And you know what this means? This means, Bates is picking up the bill. We going to eat? Yeah, you picking up every tab. He doesn't care.
And kids like, you know what? They like the gear too, right? So Bates is outfitted by Adidas. We're all wearing Yeezys this week. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to sell kids. And so you might only see 10 schools at first that do it really well. But guess what? There's a small school that has a big, big donor for a company you've never heard of. but they're going to pay this player a lot of money to go there.
Yeah. All of a sudden, now he's the guy doing Google commercials.
Yep.
You're seeing Bates on the Super Bowl commercial because, Google decided, we want you to be our guy. That's how big I think that he could be. And if MSU does this right, it's going to be a beacon for every top recruit. It's not how you can win a championship, son. I can make you millions before you go to the NBA and make billions.
It's going to be like the NBA free agency where you see John Luehr make $40 million. And you're like, he got paid $40 million and Scottie Pippen made a contract for $20 million for years? Yeah. And it's like,
no, but
that's what we're going to see. You're going to see a three-star kid sign with Alabama, and he's going to get a sweet endorsement. And you're like, oh, but Alabama, like I said, it makes sense.
You can get a sweet endorsement from Alabama, but I don't think – because I don't even think Trevor Lawrence could get this type of a deal.
No, at all. It's going to take one special kid, and Bates is him.
Bates is that kid. If MSU does this right, Izzo will be able to get any kid that he wants because he can simply put that Bates portfolio out and says, oh, and by the way, this is what our marketing team came up for you. So, Evan, you could be the next this. We can get this. We can get this. Yeah, I can get Dan Gilbert on the phone right now. As a matter of fact, hold on. Hey, Dan. Yeah, I got Evan in the office with me right now. Hey, Evan, you know, can't wait to have you come on. If you sign with MSU, you're going to be the next face, you know. I mean, he could do it every year. Hey, where basically Imani could hand it off to this person, hand it off to this person in the commercials. They could do that type of stuff. So something to look out for with this name, image, and likeness thing going on. The smart teams are going to get the head start on the dumb teams. If you're MSU, you got the athlete that can really change the rules to this and either put a cap on it or just turn this thing into some ridiculous thing. So that's up to the Michigan State Athletic Department. So you got anything before we quit?
No, Rico, but I do want to ask you a question. Every week, since this is around Big Ten football and football in general, I need to ask your opinion on what you like best out of the Big Ten. So I know, Rico, you weren't prepared for this. I didn't tell you beforehand, so I'm just going to wing it here and see what you like to say. But I want to know right now your favorite all-time Big Ten football helmet. It doesn't have to be the traditional helmet. It can be a one-off helmet. It can be a chrome helmet. It can be a flat helmet. It can be a helmet worn for one game and we never saw again. It could be a helmet in 1945 that I don't even know about.
My favorite one-off or my favorite Big Ten football helmet. Oh, man, you are catching me off guard. I would probably have to say I really like the Buckeye black helmets.
And the matte ones, right?
Yeah, and it looks like they got the little weed stickers, but they're really Buckeyes, but they look like weed. It does.
Bright green, too.
It's like... Okay, why are they hyping up weed? But yeah, I like the Buckeye black helmets. Probably, I like those. I mean, I've also been a big fan. I was one of the proponents of getting the MSU all white helmets with the green logo. I like those too, and probably. I'm trying to think. I like those, the chrome gopher helmets. I don't know if you saw those. I think they broke them out last year, but it was like the gold chrome, chrome helmet. So, yeah.
Well, you stole my favorite. It is that Ohio State one, the black. It's so sharp, and you look mean wearing that thing coming out. And I love everything about it. My second, it's a little bit of a homer, but the chrome Michigan State helmet, they've only worn it twice. And I just love it. They were against Michigan and Nebraska, I think.
Here's the thing.
I love it.
Here's my caveat for the chrome. I absolutely hated it when they wore against Michigan. And it wasn't because they lost the game. It didn't match the uniform. It looked like Christmas tree bulbs. It's like, these are hideous. When they wore them against Nebraska, it was different. And I figured out why. The chrome Michigan State helmets only work at night because you get the night sky. So in the daytime, they're bright. They're just way but the darkness in that chrome juxtaposes the light and the darkness in there, and it just gives it this badass feel at night. So if you're wearing chrome, it's got to be a night game or the sun has to set, and you got to finish that game in the dark.
All right, I'll give it to you. But Michigan State, if you're listening, bust those out because, man, I love them. I love them.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see the chromes again. But
probably not.
We'll see. You never know. You never know. So, all right. For Evan Jenkins, I'm Rico Beard. Thanks for listening to the Five Star Zone. We'll be back next week, folks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.